Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:56 p.m. That is on October 25th. And what we saw today is that there was fireworks in India. They have announced a $32 billion recapitalization of the banking sector. And I found it quite interesting that despite all of the really positive pieces of news that have been coming out on the macro front for India, not least the integration of in the mobile phone market, going from 2G to 4G, the digitization of the economy, so the rollout of internet banking, of the fact that they have taken biometric data for everyone in the country, and that's almost complete, so that you will be able to have a full suite of personalized functions on one's mobile device that will offer hundreds of millions of illiterate people access to the internet and to everything that we take largely for granted. But despite these, and that's in addition, of course, to the fact that Modi's administration is reform-minded and that they're taking a pretty steady approach to introducing these reforms, and this recapitalization of the banks is an additional example of that. But when I spoke with institutional investors over much of the last 2 years, the one bugbear that they have all had, the one thing that has been holding them back, was the non-performing loans on the bank's balance sheets. So, in fact, what this measure now would appear to represent is a catalyst for additional interest in the country. And when we look at the varying performance of the banks in here today, we can see that, for example, Punjab National Bank was up 46%, Bank of Baroda up 30%, and State Bank of India up 27%. So they're the clear beneficiaries. These are in large part the state-controlled banks, whereas the privately held banks did not receive quite the same degree of stimulus from this measure. But perhaps more important than that is the fact that this is removing a headwind to investor interest. So when we look at, for example, the Bombay Banks Index chart, and how did all of these really quite abrupt moves aggregate out, then what we're presented with is still an uptrend, and this is a clear upward dynamic. It confirms support in the region of the trend mean, and this remains a bull market environment overall. And then the Nifty index has broken out to new recovery highs. In fact, it's new all-time highs, and it has been pausing around this 10,000 area. There wasn't much to say about it for really much of the last 2.5, nearly 3 months, but now it is breaking on the upside, having unwound most of its overbought condition relative to the trend mean during that process of consolidation, and this looks like a bullish catalyst for additional upside. This was also an interesting day in China, because that Xi Jinping has announced his cabinet to put some more familiar terminology on the standing committee within the Politburo. And they are all very closely aligned with his objectives. In many respects, we can look at what it is that Xi has achieved as a point towards what he might want to achieve in the next 5 years. What have been his primary areas of focus? Well, one was corruption, but it was touted as corruption, but it was probably more likely to have been what one might consider I think it would be that he is centralizing power around himself. So then corruption is considered anything that would test his own individual authority. And what he demands is absolute loyalty. And then when we look at what it is that they have been promoting, they've been promoting technology, and the technology sector has done fantastically well. The property market is beginning to look like a headwind to prosperity, because property is so remarkably expensive. So and he doesn't have nearly as much skin in the game in terms of really leverage to the property sector that some of the other premiers might have had. So I think that the Shanghai Property Index is really worth monitoring. It is pausing here in the region of the trend mean, and it has improved over the last 2 weeks, but not particularly in a dynamic manner. As long as it is holding the region of the trend mean, we can probably give the benefit of the doubt to higher to lateral ranging, but it certainly needs to hold these recent lows. If it was breaking down, then that would suggest that we're in a rather different environment. Then if we look at what was the overriding priority of Xi's first period in power, it was to increase China's international presence. And we can anticipate that that is exactly what the next 5 years is going to be about, that the pace of island building, of military installations in the Middle East or in Africa, for example, or indeed the One Belt, One Road initiative to promote Chinese influence overseas, these are all going to be accelerated in all likelihood. And when we look at the banking sector, then it was in mildly negative territory in here today, but the most important thing it has done is break above that 14,000 level about 3 months ago. And as long as it can hold that breakout, we can give the benefit of the doubt to higher to lateral ranging. Now, when we look at the VIX index, and I think a lot of people will be keeping a close eye on it, it held on to a good part of its advance in here today, but not all of it. And what we have seen is that this has been a moderate move relative to even what would have previously been considered moderate moves back in August or July or May. And it didn't quite hold all of the advance, but it has been up for 3 consecutive days. And the 10-year bond yield has also improved from yesterday's break above 2.4%, and it was up another almost one, or just over 1.5 basis points today, but again did not hold it. So now the question is, is this move above 2.4% going to be sustained? And I think a good part of that question is going to be centered around who is going to be the next Fed chair and what the likely trajectory of interest rates is likely to be. When we look at the Dow Jones, which has been really rallying in a rather persistent manner since the beginning of September, it was down about 112 points in here today, again off the lows, but it is susceptible to some pause and consolidation. If this is going to remain a reasonably consistent advance, then it is due some consolidation. I think that the most likely scenario is that we do get at least a pause and consolidation for the next few weeks. And I think that that is perhaps the most reasonable outcome, considering that we're going to have some news from the ECB on what they're going to do about their tapering. The Bank of England is going to be making some decisions about whether to raise interest rates, and these are all potential uncertainties. The pound was a little bit stronger in here today because economic growth came through stronger than expected in the UK today, so they are beginning to think about what are the additional headwinds to stop the Bank of England from raising interest rates. I think the longer that they can hold out, perhaps the better for the UK economy. But when we look at this chart of the pound over the last year, it has held this progression of high reaction lows, and it is firming once more from the 130 area against the dollar. Now, if the UK is raising interest rates, then that will begin to narrow the interest rate differential with the dollar. And the USA, if they can, despite feuding in the Republican Party, the one thing that's holding them together is their united front on wishing to have tax cuts. So if they can push that through, then that's not particularly bullish for the dollar, considering that it's going to increase deficits, and then that would also give some potential for other currencies to appreciate against it. The euro is currently holding here around 118, and it's the lower side of what is an almost 3 month range. It's paused in the region of 120. Now, the Europeans are beginning to talk about tapering, and that tapering might take a year. So that would mean that the size of the balance sheet will continue to increase, but not at the same pace. And perhaps we've seen some of that already. The pace of the advance has moderated over much of the last couple of months, considering that it was all going up in an almost straight line at the beginning of this year. So they may say that they're already tapering and point to that as confirmation that it is not the end of the world, that they are beginning to taper their accommodation. So when we begin to take all of these factors into consideration, we're still in a period of synchronized global economic expansion. And we have discussed in repeated broadcasts that the banking sector, the resources sector, and the biotechnology sector are among the better performers in terms of cyclicality, even though the biotech sector is now in a process of mean reversion. As long as it is holding the region of the trend mean, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. There isn't a handy index for the luxury goods sector, but what we are seeing is that Kering, for example, has rallied really rather impressively, and that what we are seeing, broadly speaking, is a recovery in luxury goods, and that has been going on for much of the last 6 months already, and indeed most of this year. And of course, these are shares and businesses that are heavily leveraged to the growth of the global consumer. And the global consumer is almost an aphorism for the synchronized global economic expansion. So they should be doing well in this kind of environment, and indeed they are. So when we then go back and think about where are we in this cycle, then periods of synchronized global economic expansion generally tend to be responded to by central banks by raising interest rates, and we're starting to see that. In the interval between when central banks begin to raise interest rates and when those interest rates begin to offer a headwind, then we generally tend to have pretty firm stock markets. So personally, I don't think that we're going to get anything other than some pause and consolidation on Wall Street, or indeed in Europe, because we're still not at a period in time where the pause in monetary policy is going to be anything other than simply a pause. But eventually, interest rates are going to become a problem. Eventually, the absence of central bank massive accommodation is going to represent a headwind, and then people will start to worry about the volatility. And I really would recommend taking the time to read that Artemis report I posted in Comment of the Day yesterday. It is certainly one of the most erudite I've seen. Then this was also a big day for Bitcoin. They've had another hard fork, this one creating Bitcoin Gold. And what we've seen with Bitcoin over this hard fork today and the one back in July is almost Darwinism, that there is an existential argument going on within the cryptocurrency community about exactly what does Bitcoin and the cryptocurrencies, what do they represent? Some people think that they represent hard money, that they are an immutable asset similar to gold, and that nothing should be done to alter that integrity. So they don't want to increase the size of the potential market, and they don't want to do anything to speed up the transactions, that they are simply mining Bitcoin for itself. And then there are the others that want to build Bitcoin and blockchain into a transaction network to rival the credit card companies and the banks. But in order to do that, they need to have much swifter transaction times, because right now Bitcoin transactions are among the slowest of all the cryptocurrencies. So then that is what the hard fork back in July was related to, and again on this occasion. And if we can look very simply at what happened in here today, prices pulled back and then finished in positive territory by about $100. They have paused in the region of 6,000. But this has been a staircase step sequence uptrend, and I think that is perhaps more evident on the logarithmic scale chart, and I do believe that log scale charts are the more appropriate way to look at the price performance of what is still a largely unleveraged asset, because we don't have futures or options just yet, although the options have been permissioned by the CFTC, they are not yet tradable. That would suggest that if this staircase step sequence uptrend is to be sustained, then 5,000 represents an area of support that really should hold. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.